Hi everyone, this is Wendy and welcome back to Overexposed, a podcast by Pexels made by and for ambitious creatives. Our guest today has founded his own company, been featured alongside Mercedes-Benz, Vogue, and Harper's Bazaar, released a course on how to get started in 3D art, and is on a mission to bring more sustainability and representation via virtual models. Now, if that's impressive enough, well, let me add that he has done all of this by the age of 16. Lucas Club is a Melbourne-based creative with a passion for graphic design in its 2D and 3D forms. He is the founder and artistic director of Club Visuals, which works on filter creation, CGI avatar creation, and commercial graphic design. This young teen has worked with a magnitude of clients and has worked on many different passion projects throughout the years. Lucas is wise beyond his years and shares valuable experience on how he taught himself 3D art, the importance of passion projects as a way to generate leads, and gives us a snapshot into the possibilities of virtual reality. Hey Lucas, thank you so much for joining us today on Overexposed.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really happy to be on Overexposed and super excited.
Accomplished so much at such a young age. I'm really looking forward into diving into what you do because it is so interesting. But before we get into things, could you tell us a little bit more about your creative background and how that has led you to become a 3D artist as you are today?
Yeah, so my name is Lucas Club and I kind of specialize in 3D art and like this kind of virtual avatar kind of realm. And what's led me to that path is I've always just had this interest in, you know, 3D art. And I was just like, you know, doing art, you know, digitally. And when I found out about this new medium, I definitely wanted to give it a shot and try it out. So I spent quite a while trying to master that. And then once I mastered that, I, you know, started selling those services and just started growing and trying to grow as an artist, but then also like technically grow. So.
Such a niche topic and obviously fairly new, but fast growing with the emergence of technologies in AR and VR. What was the process like in teaching yourself how to create this kind of work?
Yeah, so it's definitely been a journey, you know, kind of learning this craft. It's taken me quite a while and I still like don't consider myself like even still like fully ready. There's always something more I need to learn. But in saying that, I started just, you know, downloading a few softwares, a few free ones, and then, you know, kind of started making my way up. And when it was something more serious, I started investing more money in different softwares and even different assets and different, you know, just even courses. And I started just, you know, with the softwares, and then I got on YouTube. I searched a few things up. So I'm all self-taught in that regard. And what I've actually done is I've actually made a few courses online and a lot of them are like kind of beginner oriented. And that's something I definitely wanted to do after I kind of learned the software and, you know, how to navigate it. And once I was confident with that, I started making a course. And I'm really happy I made that course. And it's a resource that I think is a pretty, pretty good resource. You know, not only for new people, but also just for people that are either interested in the software and, you know, for all sorts of levels. But as far as when I started, yeah, definitely YouTube tutorials and even like a few like forums, like those are super helpful. But I do wish there's more resources and it's something more accessible, which I definitely do think in the future, VR and AR, it is going to become more accessible. And that comes with, you know, for the user and then also for like the developer side of things and more resources online and all that.
What kind of software do you use to make these 3D models? Because they look very, very detailed. Is it just one software that you use or do you kind of collaborate between a few of them?
Yeah, so the main software I use is called DAZ 3D. And that's kind of where you start off with the virtual avatar. And pretty much what I use is like a base. So in like the animation side of things, like it's pre-rigged, which means that all the bones and all that, it's already set up. So you don't have to adjust them. So once I do that, I can pretty much start with that base. I can get right into animating. And then once I have that base, I go in a free 3D software called Blender. And in there, I adjust, you know, the shape of the avatar. It's almost kind of like The Sims, like you're kind of manipulating these different points on the avatar to kind of create that facial shape. And then you do it with the body. And then you bring it all back into the main program, Dance Studio. And then, for example, I go onto like the textures. And I guess the industry standard is like Photoshop for that sort of thing. And then I use a few different other softwares. Another one, Substance Painter. And in that, I'm creating all these imperfections on the skin. So like freckles and even like stretch marks on, like for the body and just a different bunch of features. And I kind of try to make the skins more detailed there. And then I just bring it back into Dev Studio. And then after I do that, I adjust the settings on the skin. So how much shine I want the skin to have, how like translucent I want the skin to look. And there's a few really, really interesting settings like that happen in real life, but you don't inherently think about. For example, like one of them is called like subsurface scattering. And that's the effect of when like you get like a light and place it behind skin and you can see like a red glow coming out. So there's definitely some really interesting ways to kind of manipulate the avatar to give it a certain look. And then once I do that, you know, I'll add eyelashes and I will do eyes in Photoshop and, you know, add hair and then a pose. Then kind of everything just kind of follows after that and then the scene. And if it's an animation, I'll create an animation or use a few online resources to grab that animation. But for the most part, it definitely depends on kind of what I'm doing, if I'm doing client work, what the client wants. And yeah, it's more about the vision more than anything, though. That's what I've definitely realized.
I've seen some of your work in creating these models for James Charles and Charli D'Amelio, and it's so crazy how accurate you can make them. How long does it usually take you to create something like that?
Yeah, so if I'm making a model of someone's likeness, like you said with like Charli and James, that sort of thing, it takes quite a while. So it can take anywhere from like, I mean, at least 8 hours sometimes to upwards of like 15 hours. But I guess what I'm doing in that is I'm taking photos of these like people, and for the skin texture, I'm making the skin out of that photo, and then for like the shape of that, I'm you know using the photo almost as a reference in the same way that like a painter would, and I'm just adjusting these different geometry points in the body and the face to you know create that likeness. So yeah, it really does depend though, and it also depends how much I want to customize the assets. I definitely like to fully customize everything. And for the most part, start just from the base. But yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. Like I knew it was just going to be super complex, but there's so many different things that you don't know until you actually do it. It's like the evolution from people doing like paintings and drawings to being able to do stuff on Photoshop and Illustrator. And I feel like this is the next step above that we'll be seeing a lot more in the future. So kudos to you for getting started on this so early on.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Being an artist and running a business are two very different things, but it takes both to be able to succeed as a creative entrepreneur. Did you have any business knowledge before you started Club Visuals?
No, not really. And just for anyone wondering, Club Visuals is like my 3D art kind of business. And they're like, for the most part, we like sell these avatars and we create custom avatars and all these 3D services. But I haven't really had any previous kind of experience with marketing or creating a business. I mean, I've done like YouTube here and there, so I kind of knew how to like engage people in that regard, and I've done social media for a bit, so that also really helped kind of initially growing like Club Visuals, definitely. But I kind of learned all these like little skills along the way in regards to marketing, but for the business side of things, like I was completely lost. I definitely undercharged in like a bunch of situations when I just started out, but thankfully, like I'm definitely learning every day. It's like a day where I'm learning. So,
yeah. And the great thing about business is a lot of it does come from trial and error. even though there are like books out there in theory, you don't really know what fits what you're doing until you actually do it. But like anything, whether you start at 15, 16 or starting at 30, 40, at least when you make a mistake, you know that the only way you can go is up from there, and you can only improve and learn.
Definitely. Yeah.
So not only did you start a business at such a young age, which is so impressive, you also started something in a very niche field. So when you first started, how did you go about pitching to clients? Did you have any specific clients that you started targeting, or did you try a little bit of everything at first?
So kind of what I started doing is I just started with like these personal projects, and a lot of them I kind of made just to get clicks, to get views, so people kind of know the name first. And then you know, like by all means, like I'm still like kind of not like where I want to be in regards of like exposure, but it was a start. And then some clients started rolling in, and I've done like quite a bit of like reaching out in the first few days, but I noticed that like a lot of that just like it really didn't inherently work for me. And if I really want to go far and do something, I should probably do like personal projects. So I just spent a lot of the time doing personal projects, trying to get them out there, trying to get eyes on them. And then through that, people will, you know, see my work. And then also once I uploaded these courses online, which is something I always wanted to do, I got clients through that. Because it is like, even after watching these tutorials, like, I think if anything, if like potential clients see that, they know how much work goes into these avatars. They have more of like a respect for the craft, which mm-hmm. is pretty awesome. And I guess like starting, it's best to have all these different ways where people can find you. I tried all like the Fiverr methods and all that, but they just don't work. And I think like a lot of those programs, they're pretty much is like a marketplace for graphic designers and creatives. It isn't the best route. Like, you're gonna end up undercharging yourself, and it isn't great. So
yeah, that's a really good point you made about finding different avenues to put your work out there, because normally you think of traditional routes like social media and email, which is obviously good, but this market is so saturated now that people have to go find different ways and be creative in how they reach people. So courses is definitely an awesome way to do that. And you see more people doing podcasts and everything. And on top of that, teaching something is probably the best way to learn yourself, because it really makes you kind of go back to the basics and understand how to help other people understand, especially when it's something so complex.
Definitely. And to add on to that, also, like, I've been creating these like celebrity avatars, and that's really helped, because some, you know, some celebrities notice that they post on this story, or they you know, support me, and they like see the journey. Granted, you know, a lot of them don't see the work, but at the very least, I kind of, you know, I use all the hashtags and I get their fans seeing, and the fans will share it, and of the celebrities. And I think that's also a pretty good way to grow as well. And kind of leveraging these celebrities, and if you kind of target like their markets and kind of relate it back to your own demographic, like that's also a really powerful way. And that pretty much applies to any creative, like drawing or any of that. Like, you can definitely, you know, draw a celebrity, try to even get them to see it. Best, like, even at the worst case scenario, like, you know, fans will stumble upon it, and you know, you've gained even a small bit of a new audience. So
yeah, and honestly, that's so smart, being able to find people in the similar demographic as you, and they already have that following, so why not go and take advantage of it? Like, in a similar story, like for me, I started in music photography, which obviously did not pay well. The artists were not paying you to take photos of them. It's more of like something that I did as a hobby. But the way I was able to grow in that realm was like you, and how you did with celebrities, being able to tag those people and reaching out to fan accounts, because if they post you, yeah, like you won't really get anything of monetary value instantly, but you're gaining more eyes on your work. And you do that just by using someone else's audience, which is such a smart way to do it. And you hear people asking about like, oh, like what are the shortcuts to do this, or what are the hacks to do this? And although this is not really like a hack per se, why go reinvent the wheel when you can just use what's already out there?
Yeah, 100%, definitely.
So as a young artist, it can sometimes be difficult to get others to take your work seriously. And I think a lot of people can relate to this. What does the process look like when you're pitching your work to brands?
It's like, I kind of don't really like to see my age as a factor. I'll definitely obviously like tell the brands, and I'll make sure that the brands and the clients are aware. That's obviously like important, especially for contracts and when you're signing all that stuff. It's not really something you can, you know, beat around the bush. But I don't really like to kind of play on my age too much. I don't really think it's that much of like a factor in my work. And I think often like people use that as an excuse. But I mean, realistically, like it can be leveraged. A lot of these brands, like their audience is kind of my age, as in like teens and like kind of the Gen Z sort of age range. So I definitely think you can leverage it to success. And I really wouldn't be afraid of like starting something if the only reason why you're not is because of your age. I think like even if like the work isn't the best it could be, or if you just waited a few years, you could kind of do it better. I think that experience on the way is really important, and you can really set yourself up. So when you are, I guess, at the ideal age, you're starting instantly, and you already have a platform, and you already have contacts and connections and that sort of thing. So yeah.
Yeah, and there's so many excuses why people don't start certain things, and age can definitely be one of those things. But with anything, all experience is experience, and it'll only make it better once you do the next one and the next one from there. And going back to business, it's all about trying to find your competitive advantage. What makes you different from others? And while some people might think of age as a limiting factor, you understand social media and software a lot better than older people do. So why not play on that and use that to your advantage? So for you personally, what would be your advice for other young creatives who are trying to prove themselves and their work to potential clients?
You definitely like have to start out from somewhere. Don't be afraid to, like as you said, reach out. But like personally, like I've found a lot of like the more high profile clients just from doing personal projects. And I guess that's the best way, because with these personal projects, I'm doing, you know, what I love doing. It's something that like it's completely mine. I can control the vision. And if a brand sees that, especially if they're high profile, it's going to be so much better, because they're already going to know the quality of your work and your aesthetics and what you stand for. So that's definitely like, I'd say, the best way. And you also grow like a platform, so people kind of viewing your work. And by doing that, you can also find these different kind of streams of revenue. Like, you never know, if you get a big platform of consumers compared to clients, you could always like sell your prints or like sell merch. So that's also a different revenue. I think there's many ways, like as a creative, like how you can market yourself, you know, whatever way kind of suits your brand and suits your flow is the best. So,
what did it feel like for you when you booked your very first client?
It was pretty exciting. I actually remember I was like, I think at 14, and it was pretty like a relatively small client, but I was so excited. I definitely got like undercharged, but I started like a few months ago, so I don't blame the guy, and it was all cool. So that was definitely like a lot of fun, and I was kind of learning while I was like while I was going. And the guy, he definitely knew like the work he was going to receive. It was like proportionate probably to the amount I charged, and then also my work. So if you're creating a portfolio, I guess the client can see the quality of your work, so that's also pretty helpful. But yeah, like I guess with every client you improve and you learn things along the way. So,
well, first of all, that's insane that you were only 14 when you booked your first client. Like most people that age are probably just going through school and keeping up with their extracurriculars and whatnot. Was there something or someone that inspired you to start following your passions at such a young age, and not only that, but turn it into a business and putting it into the real world?
I kind of feel like I didn't start from like zero to 100 instantly. I guess I started with like, yeah, I was doing social media for such a long time. I kind of grew a small platform there. And then once I started this kind of virtual avatar 3D line of things, I started kind of showing that. And then once I was kind of showing all that stuff, I even created like an Instagram account for one of these avatars and kind of played into like this like alternate reality where like these virtual models are almost like real influencers. I mean, I don't think there's really anything as like a real influencer. I guess like that's one of the points that I was trying to cover, and it's definitely like a social experiment in that regard. But you know, once I did that, I kind of started selling my services. Once I was comfortable with, you know, what I was learning and how much I knew, and then, you know, after I did that, then I launched Club Visuals, and then it's definitely like a slow rise, which I'm quite grateful for, because I definitely don't think like going from zero to 100 is like healthy as like a creative. And yeah, so that's how I see it.
Yeah, slow growth is such a great mindset to have, because it might not be as glamorous as overnight success or virality per se, but it's the best way to do stuff sustainably. Like, you see it so often nowadays, like on TikTok, when a song goes viral for 3 days and disappears the next week. But in order to make something super sustainable, you have to really take it slow and really be patient with the process.
Agreed, yeah.
So it's been around 2 years now since you booked your very first client, and now you're being featured alongside these world-class brands like Mercedes-Benz, Vogue, and Harper's Bazaar. So can you tell us a little bit about how that happened?
So I kind of was reached out to by a representative for Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week Russia, and they saw my work through one of these passion projects I started. And they were really interested in what I do. And then kind of from there, I hopped on a call, and then I met with the brand of the fashion designer that I was teaming up with. And we sorted that out. And it was a really exciting process. And once that happened, and once, you know, the work was created, it was really exciting seeing it all published. And alongside that, it got published on a bunch of different platforms, as you said, like Vogue and Harper's Bazaar. And just to have that experience in and of itself is like pretty exciting, especially for someone my age, and for my work to be featured on these articles that are definitely like up there with like one of like the bigger companies, and even as a creative, some places that I look for inspiration, and it's super exciting. So
yeah, that's incredible. Congratulations. That's such a big milestone to have.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
So going back a little bit, I want to talk a little bit more about your virtual models. One of your most well-known models, Candace Club, has her very own Instagram account. So what does the process look like after you create these models? How do you book them out to clients, and how does working with them look like?
Yeah, so I kind of like house, I guess you could say, like around 6 virtual models. And I definitely like to kind of pitch them to clients. And the client kind of, if they want like a custom virtual model, that's like something I also do. If they want to use like the in-house models, that's something that like we can also work out. But once we do that, I guess we kind of move on to like the garments. So for the most part, I'm creating a lot of these garments, like in like these virtual softwares, or we get someone else to do it. So I have like a few garment designers that I've teamed up with in the past that I like link back to, and it's like even for them, like I've grown this connection. And if one of these designers is working with the client, that these people that like create the garment, and on their team they need someone that like needs an avatar, it's also really good to have that creative to creative kind of connection. And we definitely like to like refer each other to clients and all that stuff. So that's also a really great way to like get also like respect in the industry, but also get new clients and all that. So I guess as far as that goes, if a brand is interested in using one of my models, we kind of, you know, get the garment ready, and then we create the scene, and we create a few renders. And if they want like a runway sort of thing, I have like a digital set. But if the client wants something a bit more unique, like I'll create almost like a digital set, it's really fun. And, you know, you set up all the color palettes and all the themes, and it's like, yeah, it's pretty like interactive experience, like in that regard. But yeah.
I love how you mentioned the creator to creator collaboration, because that's something that is often overlooked, because you think of attracting clients and you think it's like business to the client. But a lot of things can happen when just by networking with people in adjacent industries. So that could look like for you with virtual models, you have this software and you have this tech side of things, and working with other people in adjacent industries who might use it. For photographers, that could look like working with makeup artists or set designers. Because you're not in the same industry, there's less of that direct competition. Not saying that you can't collaborate with those who are in your industry directly, but it builds credibility, and word of mouth is the best way to attract loyal clients and not just one-time people. It also builds more credibility, because if you think about it, you're way more likely to try something if your friend or even an acquaintance that you know recommends it, rather than just seeing an ad online or getting a cold pitch.
Yeah, exactly. And it's definitely like a pretty powerful connection. And once you do that, also, I think even if you like team up with these people, you can almost charge for like a bundle and charge more just for like the ease of having a team that all knows each other and that's worked before. So it's definitely, it's also quite easier. Like if like one of my clients wants a really advanced garment, because although I do create garments, it's not something I'm too really like versed in, I guess. And if it's something super advanced, I often refer to these people. And just knowing like these people's workflows and how they create these garments, it's really interesting from my perspective, because I can definitely like take notes. But then also it's so much easier because I already know their workflow. If I worked with them before, I sort of know the things I need to do to get the garments working on the avatar and all that. So yeah.
So with the pandemic and everything, and the fact that people can't physically be around each other for these like fashion shows and events, have you found that there has been a change in demand for these virtual assets for models, events, and et cetera?
Yeah, so definitely. I mean, this like kind of virus has actually impacted my sales positively. And for most businesses, that's actually been the opposite. But I'm definitely so glad that I can still create during this time, and that there's more demand from people that view my work, and then also potential clients and buyers. And this like kind of COVID virus season, I guess, it's also kind of given me a bit more inspiration for my work, and it allows me to cover more themes with my work than I previously couldn't. And I guess having this period to rest, but then also create art, super, super helpful. And although it's like a terrible time, don't get me wrong, I'm like, I really wish we could get out of this. It's definitely a great time for me to kind of reflect on what I'm doing. And I can kind of think, is this the path I want to take? Or should, you know, it gives me more time to just kind of reflect my work and think about even like the process, and giving me more time to even learn more like skills. Like even like in this like kind of industry, in this 3D art workflow, there's always more programs you got to learn. There's more techniques and more ways you can do something. And like, I guess I've kind of been learning like even like easier ways to do things. Like I guess techniques that took me like hours to like, you know, get ready, and they'll take me like less. So I'm getting more efficient, but then also learning, you know, for example, like different like shortcuts and that sort of thing. So yeah.
Yeah, and this certainly is a huge change. There's no way that we're going to go back to exactly where things were. And although in this case, it's not something like the invention of internet when it was something more positive, this is obviously a really bad thing. And we all wish it will go away sometime soon. But since it's here, we kind of have to accept it and adapt to it rather than just wishing that things will go back to normal. And the exciting thing about a big change is that it comes with innovation, and people are doing so many new things to try to adapt and really try to change things that weren't working before.
Yeah, definitely. And also to kind of like cover that sustainability topic, I think a lot of that, like my work is definitely like sustainably friendly. I feel like there's almost no way it couldn't be. I guess it's the only option, and like that in and of itself is so powerful. And like sustainability, and then also with diversity, like with my work, there isn't any excuse to not be diverse. And I often see like these like conventional modeling agencies kind of taking all the shortcuts, but I guess in this virtual environment, like there isn't any excuses. It can be done. And just having that power to kind of, I guess, you know, like these things I'm really passionate about, such as sustainability and diversity, I can achieve, and it's all doable, and it has a positive impact as well. So,
yeah, that's a really great point, because I know your work expands greater than just fashion, but just talking about garments and everything in the fashion industry, if you have one of these world-class events, the carbon footprint that comes with flying people in and out and all of the garments that maybe get used once or twice, there is a lot of waste that comes with it. And with what you're doing, the only footprint that comes with it is maybe the technology that you use to make it, but it's something that's reusable, and it's so much easier to add aspects of, like you said, inclusivity and diversity, and why not do that in a way that is sustainable?
Yeah, 100%. And then even like with like the garment creating, like there's a lot of wasted materials that is involved with that process in like a real life setting, but everything's virtual, so there isn't any waste of fabric, and it's also like a cheaper alternative to making clothes. And I know even at fashion schools, a lot of the people there are starting to learn how to create these garments, and that's actually how a lot of these people have started to like sell their services and actually fallen in love with like 3D. Like I know a few fashion designers that learn about like how to make clothes in university, and then they've continued that, they've made their own businesses. So I also think it's great that these universities are teaching it, and they're like kind of going with like the new times almost, and they're not willing to you know, kind of stay, they're willing to change. So that's really awesome as well.
And it comes back to the theme of adapting and just really taking what we have and changing it for the better, and thinking about ways that maybe we didn't really think about it as much before, but now we're kind of forced to confront these issues.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, finally, just wrapping up, what's next for Club Visuals? Is there anything that you're working on that you're super excited about coming up?
Yeah, so definitely I've been, you know, doing a bunch of work. Like, a lot of it, like, is, like, under NDA, and then some of it's, like, unconfirmed. There's a bunch of different factors, but personal projects, like, I just completed like this runway that I wanted to do, and that had 6 of my virtual models, and that was super exciting. And I guess in 2021, probably more personal projects. I plan to create like more courses online, and then I also plan to solidify, I guess, my aesthetic and like creatively kind of solidify that. I've been working on the technical kind of side of things for so long, I definitely think it's kind of time for me to like solidify my aesthetic, and I definitely want to grow as a creative more in 2021, more than like a technical kind of developer. So I guess as far as that goes, that's it, yeah.
Well, it's certainly a lot on your plate, but I have no doubt that you'll be able to accomplish all of those. So for those who are listening and want to get connected with you, where can we find you and your work online?
So you can find me on Instagram, that's at Club Visuals, as well as Twitter. On YouTube, you can search up my name, and that's Lucas Club. Also, like, you can check out my website, and you can kind of see, I guess, more of the behind the scenes of my work, and even a bit of my client work. And if there's kind of any questions, you can just reach out, contact me via email, and all that's on my website. So, yeah.
Well, thank you again for joining us today, Lucas. It was so interesting learning about the world of 3D art, and I have no doubt you're going to accomplish so much moving forward, and we'll definitely have to keep an eye on you in the next couple of years, and I'm really excited to see what you do from here.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much, Wendy. I really appreciate being on Overexposed, and I'm excited also like where the future goes, and it's definitely looking quite positive. So.